It has stood the test of time. God's book, the Bible, still relevant in today's complex world. It is written, sharing messages of hope around the world.
Thank you for joining It Is Written. You know, we've had many discussions in the past about biblical origins. We've discussed some scientific reasons that the biblical reason of origins is attractive. Now, if you've missed any of those shows on origins, you can go to our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/IIW Canada. But I will tell you, when you look at origins, one of the often overlooked areas of understandings in the issue of origins makes an immense practical difference in our lives. And what is that issue? That issue is ethics. To help us in our discussion about ethics, I have with me Dr. Tim Standish. Dr. Standish, thank you so much for joining us again.
Oh, I'm glad to be back.
You know, Dr. Standish, you are the senior scientist of the Geoscience Research Institute. You hold a bachelor's degree in zoology, a master's degree in biology, a PhD in environmental biology, and that's a lot of big words. Maybe in simple, tell us, what do you do, Dr. Standish, on a daily basis?
Well, by trade, I'm a molecular geneticist. So I'm very interested in DNA, and the information that's encoded into that DNA and how that information is retrieved and used by the cells in our bodies and obviously the cells that make up any other organism to actually make that organism. It's a profound mystery, and yet we're finding out little things as we go along. And every time we find out something new, all of a sudden we discover that things are much more profound than we'd anticipated. So it's an exciting area of science to work in.
Yes. Now, why is it then that you're working for the Geoscience Research Institute? And maybe tell us a little bit about what the Geoscience Research Institute does.
Well, the Geoscience Research Institute is a group of scholars. We're all PhD scientists who are interested in the relationship between the claims of science and what is revealed in Scripture. Now, most of the time, there is no disagreement between these things. But obviously, there are some areas where there are these kind of tensions between the current claims of science and the clear statements or clear record of Scripture. So we're interested in those areas of tension. What do we do with them as Christians? What do we do with them as scientists? We kind of straddle that divide. And it makes for a very interesting area, sometimes a somewhat controversial area to work in.
Now, if someone was interested in this area, wanted to do a little more reading, find some resources, where might they go to find more information about the Geoscience Research Institute and some of the work that you've been doing?
Well, certainly a good place to start would be our website, and the URL is grisda.org. So GRISDA, GRISDA.org.
Wonderful. Now, you and I have had a number of discussions about origins, and people can go to our website or to our YouTube channel and see some of those discussions, that invigorating discussions that we've had. One of the issues when we talk about origins, and I talked about that in the intro, is that we have not discussed, is the issue of ethics. So why don't we just start real baseline right there? What is ethics?
Basically, ethics are the principles, the system of morals that we use to decide what's right and what's wrong, what's righteous and what's unrighteous.
Okay, so here's then the question. You're a scientist, I'm a pastor. why are we having a discussion about ethics when it comes to the issue of origins?
Well, because our understanding of origins makes a huge difference in our decision-making about what's right and what's wrong. Obviously, one of the foundational things that you have to establish if you're developing a system of ethics is, what is a human being? Because if a human being is, let's say, a worthless object, then killing a human being would not be a bad thing at all. If a human being is an invaluable creation of God, then, well, you know, maybe human life has a different value to it than you know, other ways in which you can look at it. So there are lots of implications just right there.
And I think you've alluded to it just a little bit there, but let's talk about that. What are the moral implications of accepting the biblical record of origins?
Number one, the Bible tells us that everything we see is ultimately created by God, and this is very important, also sustained by God.
Okay.
God sustains his creation. And so then we have to ask ourselves, how should I treat this creation? Yeah. Should I be comfortable with the idea that we can go out and destroy the environment in which we live, destroy other organisms for some short-term expediency for myself? You know, so just in terms of how we treat the rest of the creation is a big, big question, possibly one that we as Christians should struggle with a little bit more. Think about it. The Bible is quite amazing. You know, it gives very specific instructions about how we should treat other animals. It tells us that God cares about other creatures. It does not put, however, those other creatures on the same footing as human beings. The Bible tells us that human beings are different.
Yes.
We have been created in the image of God. It also tells us that there's something special then about the relationship between men and women. You know, there's one unique difference in the creation of human beings that you don't see with the other organisms.
Okay.
God formed Adam out of the dust.
Yes.
Bible tells us in Genesis 2 that he formed all the other creatures out of the dust.
Yes.
God breathed the breath of life into Adam. But if we look particularly at the a few chapters into the book of Genesis, where it starts talking about the flood, we hear it talking about other creatures with the breath of life in them.
Okay.
Yes. So, wow, you know, what is it that makes Adam different?
Yeah, so you've got me wondering now.
He's formed in the image of God, but think about this. What about Eve?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Adam got to observe the other creatures and realize his need for a wife.
Yes.
The other creatures didn't get that.
Yes.
And then, and this is just glorious, God creates Eve from Adam.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, that's different. Now, you're a pastor. I don't know. You know, I'm a mere biologist.
Yes.
But I notice these differences.
Yes.
And that does have powerful implications. The relationship between a man and a woman is not the same as the relationship between a cow and a bull.
Yes.
There's a difference there. So when we start talking about relationships between human beings, the creation account makes a huge difference.
That is powerful. And so when we look at the moral implications of understanding and accepting the biblical account of origins, it has more than just the implication of an intellectual ideology, but rather it affects, putting it simply, how I live, how I treat others, because when you and I are talking, when you and I are interacting, you are a creature created by God. When I interact in the environment around me, this environment, the plants, the animals, are things created by a creator that I ought to have an appreciation for.
Oh, yes, yes. There's another area that I think we can dig into if we actually get into the what I would consider to be the most popular alternative view of things,
yes,
which is Darwinian evolution. You know, it becomes quite stark when you start comparing and contrasting what's going on there.
Yes, and I was just going to ask you about that, because then the glaring question is if I accept something outside the biblical account of origins, Darwinian evolution is the most popular. Now, maybe just as a kind of a brief, very brief explanation of Darwinian evolution, which won't do it justice because volumes have been written. What is Darwinian evolution in its simplest explanation?
At its core, Darwinian evolution is a materialistic theory of origins. So it's a theory that says there was no intervention from outside of nature when it came to the production of all of the organisms that we see today.
And so kind of standing in distinction from the biblical account, the biblical account gives a plan with a planner or a design with a designer. Darwinian evolution, there is no plan, there is no design, there is no planner, there is no designer. Things just happened because that's the course of things happening in its simplicity.
Yes. Now, Charles Darwin himself, you know, remember he was a trained theologian.
Yes.
He was a trained pastor.
Yes.
So he actually thought about these things sometimes quite deeply and wrote about them as well. So he actually does do a fair amount of comparing and contrasting himself. I've got a quote here that I want to read to you.
This
is Charles Darwin writing way back in 1838.
Okay.
So you'll remember that he published his theory of evolution in a book called The Origin of Species.
Yes.
That book was published in 1859.
Okay.
So 21 years before that, he was writing, and he wrote, "Man in his arrogance thinks himself a great work, worthy the interposition of a deity. More humble and, I believe, truer to consider him created from animals."
Wow.
So Darwin, long, long, long before actually he started writing The Origin of Species,
yes,
had committed himself to some kind of evolutionary idea in which human beings came from animals. And by the way, this was not unique to him at that particular time. It wasn't even unique in his own family. His grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, believed the same thing and actually wrote about it. He had apparently a family motto that said something like, "Everything came from shells," which is kind of interesting. But Darwin believed we came from animals. We were not the creation of God. So morally, then, we're the same as the other animals.
And so with that said, then, Dr. Standish, I mean, what is the moral implication? And what are some of the moral implications?
Well, you know, I'm a mere biologist.
Yeah.
So what I try to do is I try to go and read what people who are experts in this area say.
Okay.
And I have a quote here from Peter Singer. Now, Peter Singer is a very eminent ethicist. He's a Darwinian ethicist, and many people have heard of him because he's been a champion of animal rights.
Okay.
And that obviously springs from his kind of system of ethics. Human beings are not necessarily different from animals.
Yes.
So why would we treat humans differently than we treat animals? So let me read this to you. He said, if our substance and our structure is the same as that of other animals, if we are an animal rather than a specially created being made in the image of God, how can this not reduce the gulf between us and them? He argues that animals and humans have the same moral status. And he's not alone in doing that. James Rachels, another prominent commentator in this area, wrote, an evolutionary perspective denies that humans are different in kind from other animals, and one cannot reasonably make distinctions in morals where none exist in fact. So, you know, this is not... I don't want to put words into these gentlemen's mouths.
Sure.
But this is very, very profound. Because if humans are the same as animals, then either animals have all the same rights as human beings, or human beings have no special rights at all.
Yes, and I mean, and beyond that, it would seem that not only we talk about the operation of society, and society is governed by laws and regulations, and many of those laws and regulations, at least in the United States and in Canada, many of those laws and regulations actually find their roots in the Bible. But if we're saying that, I mean, the implications of this are far-reaching, that not only do animals and human beings have the same rights, so to speak, but then as human beings, we really don't need to operate within a set of laws or regulations, because if we're no different than animals, then we should just do as we desire.
That's right. If it's okay for animals, it must be okay for human beings as well. Now, there are a number of areas where this has actually come into quite stark focus in the last few years. One of them has to do with the question of human rights.
Yes.
In this system of thinking, human rights don't really actually kind of exist, because why would we have different rights than other organisms?
Okay.
So how do you justify then treating human beings differently than cows or frogs or trees?
Sure.
What is developing is a system that it's a utilitarian way of thinking about things. Basically, the argument is humans are special because we have special cognitive abilities.
Okay.
We have special brains and cows don't. So cows can't comprehend suffering, let's say, in the same way that human beings can. And we have no real way of knowing that, but this is sort of the way the thinking goes. So that sounds like it might work, but what happens when you turn that on its ear
Yes.
a little bit? What happens if you have a human being who is mentally impaired in some way? What these guys have done is they've separated the concept of a human being, which is reasonably easy to identify.
Yes.
If it comes out of a mother, a human mother, it's a human being.
Yes.
From a concept they call personhood or something along those lines. A person may have special rights, but a human does not. And then the argument goes, when a human is born, they're a baby. they don't have the cognitive abilities of a 20 or 30 or 50-year-old. So therefore, they don't have special rights. And in fact, it has been advocated, even in major, at least I'm thinking of one specific example, in a major journal of medical ethics, it's been advocated that it's okay to kill babies if they're an inconvenience.
Wow.
Because they have no special moral status. They have not yet developed into persons. And, of course, the concept of a person is something that is decided by the person who decides it.
Yes.
There's no kind of sharp line then. What happens when a person develops Alzheimer's disease? Are they still a person anymore? Or is it okay to dispose of them? These are questions that are being seriously asked, reasoning from the Darwinian perspective.
Yes, and I just wanted to be clear, as our maybe a viewer has picked up our show in the middle, we are not advocating this. We are talking about the implications of accepting Darwinian evolution, and the ethics of that is that essentially we take human beings, and human beings are not special, number one, but number two, even within human beings, we are making a distinction that someone with cognitive abilities is a person, and so they have special rights, but a human being by nature doesn't have special rights. So someone that
there
is...
There are no human rights.
There are no human rights. So someone that is mentally handicapped in some way, someone who is possibly malformed, someone who develops Alzheimer's later in life, they're not a person, and because they're not a person with whatever cognitive abilities the individual testing cognitive abilities says is a cognitive person, they're not a person and have zero rights.
Precisely. Now, contrast that with the biblical view of things.
Yes.
And obviously, we can talk in sort of abstract terms about being created in the image of God and all of those things. But as Christians, Bible-believing Christians, we have a huge advantage because the creator of this world came down and lived as a human being, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So we can look at how Jesus valued those who were considered to be of less value in the society that he operated in.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Standish, you've got my mind just flowing. I mean, I think about Jesus. I mean, Jesus addresses the leper. Jesus addresses the crippled man. Jesus addresses a woman who has an issue of blood. And then even beyond that, Jesus addresses someone who's dead. And so so the implications of that are far-reaching.
Well, yes, the demoniacs. Think about that.
Yes.
Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee to meet men who had lost their minds, and he restored them. Here's another one, and this really touches my heart.
Yes.
Jesus, when people brought their children to him, how did his disciples react? They didn't think that the children were worthy.
That's right.
They didn't, because they, for better or for worse, were thinking along similar lines. But Jesus said, you know, suffer the little children to come unto me. He didn't say, well, when they're old enough and they have the cognitive abilities that make them persons, then I will take care of them. He was there and ready to bless them and value them. The Bible, both the Old and New Testament, constantly call on the followers of the Creator God to help the needy, take care of the vulnerable, and so on. Not to devalue them or make some judgment about whether they're persons and therefore they have value and rights versus being human when they, which doesn't intrinsically have any rights. It's 100% in one direction. They're of infinite value. Jesus Christ died for all human beings.
You know, Dr. Standish, it's hard to believe that we are out of time, but what a profound, not just thought, but reality. To accept an account of origins outside the biblical account of origins has far-reaching effect, because outside of it, there is no value to a human being. But within it, we value all human beings, which is why we should feed the hungry, why we should reach out to the poor, why we should treat one another with respect, even when we disagree, because, as you pointed out, in God's eyes, every last one of us is of infinite value in His eyes, such an infinite value that He actually came to this earth to die for us, to make us a new creation.
Wow.
Amazing. Dr. Standish, let's pray together. Lord, we are so thankful that You made us, and because You made us, we are infinite in value in Your eyes. We thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Dear friends, what a profound thought. The master designer, Jesus Christ, crafted and made you with infinite value. You know, if you'd like to learn more about this Jesus who places infinite value on you, I'd like to offer you the Discover Bible Guides. You'll be drawn nearer to Him. Learn more about Him. Here's the information you need to receive today's offer.
To request today's offer, just log on to www.itiswrittencanada.ca. That's www.itiswrittencanada.ca and select the TV program tab. For Canadian viewers, the offer will be sent free and postage paid. For viewers outside of Canada, shipping charges will apply. If you prefer, you may call toll-free at 1-888-CALL-IIW. That's 1-888-CALL-IIW. Call anytime. Lines are open 24 hours daily. That's 1-888-CALL-IIW. Or if you wish, you may write to us at It Is Written, Box 2010, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. That's It Is Written, Box 2010, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4.
Dr. Standish, I want to thank you so much for this profound discussion on ethics.
You know, the bottom line is, in the biblical view of things, humans are of infinite value. In the Darwinian view, they're of questionable value.
You know, dear friends, I want to thank you so much for watching. And if you want to continue to learn more about this God who places infinite value on you, join us again next week. Until then, remember, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.